بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أنعمت للصحابة الكرام that eternity is coming upon your people. As he said this, Sahaba Ikram observed that there was a person that came in with a shoe in the left hand and water dripping from his beard as though he had freshly taken wuzu. He sat in the Sahaba Ikram. But the one that is narrating the hadith, he says, the shoe in the left hand and water dripping from the beard. The importance of adab and etiquette. Coming to a masjid, coming into the company of the pious, then come with some respect and with some adab. It wasn't compulsory for him to make wuzu. It wasn't a shart, it wasn't a precondition for sitting in a pious gathering to have wuzu, but he made wuzu, and it wasn't a precondition to have wuzu as entering the masjid, but he made wuzu for that. Then the second important thing, the shoe in the left hand. You have your kitabs, the Quran Sharif, things of dini importance and significance on the right hand, as though you are making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma atini kitabi biyamini. My book of deeds, O Allah Ta'ala, give it to me in my right hand. Each time you are holding the kitab, some Quran Sharif, kitab, hadith Sharif, whatever you are holding in the right hand, and if you are not saying it verbally, at least it should be in your mind, Allah Ta'ala, like you have blessed me with your kitab on my right hand, then bless me on the day of Qiyamah also with my book of deeds in my right hand. So these aspects of adab, they used to be brought to the child's mind from the very infancy stage. Small, his little impressed upon these things here. We didn't take it casually, we didn't take it lightly, we took it very serious. Most of us may have seen our nani or our dadis or our mothers that are old, and how they recite the Quran Sharif. There will be two, three things that will be prominent in their recitation. One is they'll have the Quran Sharif with the big letters, big alphabets. So it will be a big Quran Sharif. It won't be a smaller Quran Sharif. So in that in itself is an adab. See, you got hadith kitab, right? Tirmidhi Sharif, Bukhari Sharif. And you'll see that it's in big kitabs, in a big print. Right? Now the same hadith kitab, if you have it in a small kitab form, small, maybe it can fit in your pocket. You're getting this type of kitabs. But psychologically, you have the same respect and attachment. But the kitab that is big, you have a certain degree of respect, certain degree of honor, certain degree of attachment, certain degree of significance in your mind. This is the book of Allah Ta'ala. This is the book of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Children are watching it. They are also feeling that feeling of greatness, majesty, etc. So some things are done and displayed. And when they are displayed, it reflects the respect that you have. It respects the honor of the book. So you would see your nani or dadi, and she's holding the Quran Sharif. They should have about two gilafs over it. Right? Be a big lettered Quran Sharif. There'll be a lot of gilaf over it, and she'll put into the almari, and she'll pull it out, then she'll kiss it, place it near her eyes, put it near her heart, then she'll have a takia, before the takia she'll have another gilaf, and she'll open it, and then she will recite, she will commence a recitation. Many a times, I begin to feel, perhaps the respect that they show for the book of Allah Ta'ala, that we are enjoying the fruit. Before Iman, there's deen in our homes on account of the respect that our elders had shown to Allah Ta'ala's words. It's such a significant thing. Mufti Rafi Sahab Usmani, Dhamad Barakatuh, he was here sometimes back. So he was says, he was saying that on the 47 partition, the trouble that took place. So a lot of things going on, masjid were shown disrespect, disregard, Quran Sharif was being torn, etc. In the meanwhile, what I say is that I had to be in Germany around 10 years ago. And whilst I'm in Germany, I receive a phone from some Sikh that he wanted to see me. And he's interested in Islam and he wanted to see me. So my schedule was very tight, but now the fact that he wants to accept Islam, perhaps he wants some information, some understanding of Islam, now I can't let that pass. So with all that tight schedule, I fitted him on to the program and let him. So he's explaining to Rafi Sahab his past. He says, as a child, when all this trouble was taking place, I was walking across the street with my father. And my father asked me to pick up a book. I saw some book lying on the floor, so he asked me to pick it up, show it some respect, so I held it on my head. And then my father asked me to leave it at a respectable place, which I did. But ever since I did that, there was some inclination towards Islam. I picked it up from the floor, I held it with respect, placed it on my head, and then I placed it on a respectable place. But from that point onwards, there was always something coming to my mind about Islam, that I should accept Islam, come to Islam, accept Islam, come to Islam. And now I reached a point where I can't manage it anymore. So therefore I invited you, that you explain to me about Islam, and I want to convert. But you see the catalyst. What was the starting point? This respect. Bishr Hafi Ahmadullah Ali, Fazilji Ahmadullah, used to explain his story now hundreds of times. But same story about respect. See, this aspects of respect is not a small thing. We consider it as a small thing. May you azim sha'air Allah. You are respecting, showing some regards to the symbols of Allah Ta'ala. Man is living in the Haram Sharif, but he disregards the symbol of Allah Ta'ala, obligatory farz bath. He disregards that. And when he disregards that, the way it takes him out of Islam. Just one thing, disregarding the obligatory farz bath, he is preferring Christianity to Islam just on account of this. So when he showed that disregard, then Allah says, I don't need you. Islam, we all in need of. Every aspect, every small teaching or big teaching or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything of his is big. But some will be farz, some will be mustahab. And everything has to be shown that respect, that regards. And he showed that disregard, Allah Ta'ala disregarded him. You showed mere disregard. So then I disregard you as well. Gone. And he's gone and gone forever. But his whole life he lived here in the haram. But disregard to the word of Allah Ta'ala, the command of Allah Ta'ala, and where it leads the person. You see, in the homes, before they had all this adab, there was a senior person in the house, and things will happen with mashwara, telling the senior person. So there's a father, there's a grandfather, there's a mother, aunt. So we will not raise our voices in their presence. We will not talk to them as though they don't mean anything to us. We'll talk to them with respect. Alright, if they want us to make them amused, we will make them amused, but we will not forget the respect. It's my aunt, it's my Kala, Foy, whoever it is, Masi, Mahi, whatever. So it is someone senior, and how do I talk to her? How do I talk? If that senior person is talking to me, how do I look at him? Must I look at him on the face or look at the phone? Play around the phone and talk to him. Can I do that? Is that the right thing? Is it the respect that person deserves? If I'm leaving the house, then I will ask permission. I'll say to the elder, the woman or the man that is the elder of the house, that I'm telling him I'm leaving the house, going out, and I'm expected to return at this time. I saw that day, alhamdulillah, and say with quite a bit of confidence, there is a senior person married or children already, but they're showing so much of respect to the elder of the house. Sometimes it's a mother, sometimes it's a mother-in-law, but so much of respect I've seen that they prepared now, everybody's prepared, we'll have a day out, outing, picnic, you know, visit this person here, we'll have a meal, everything has been planned out. The only thing that was left out in the whole plan was that go and ask the permission. So they went to ask the senior for permission, said, no, I don't think I should be going. They said, there isn't a frown on the face. No frown, face is not pulled up, absolutely nothing. All right, if that is what will make you happy, inshallah, we'll do that. We will not go against it. But there was some recognition of seniority. Right? Now, you may say, no, he's overplaying his part. And you underplay your part. You always want to see, you know, that person is overplaying his part. But as far as our own selves are concerned, then do we look at it from a different perspective? Now, you call a senior person, how much of blessing? Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, his style, he came to teach in Darul Dioban at around 64, 65. That was the approximate time that he came to teach. Was teaching in Kanpur. The peer of Kanpur didn't want to leave him. They had to intercede. People of Dioban had to intercede so many times, 10 times, 20 times. Eventually, after so much of persuasion, then only Sabram had to leave. They weren't prepared to leave him. Such a struggle at the time. Darul Dioban Mufti was at the last, and he needed to be replaced. The Sheikh al-Hadith also was aging. He needed to be replaced. So the highest position in a madrasa is a Mufti or a Sheikh al-Hadith. But that person is on his last lap and they need a good replacement. Now that's the position in Darul Dioban. Darul Dioban speaks for the whole of India and previously even Pakistan, right? No, he's in such an important position. India Muslim population today is approximately 250 million. It's not South African Muslim population, 2 million now. It's 250 million. So you can imagine now the strength, the power, the authority, the focus. Everybody's attention is on the person. So now as he pulls into Darul Dioban, in that position, that position, Khayyatayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh gives him one room. But if you look at the room now, there's a lot of heavy traffic. Now the man has to do fatwa and has to prepare hadith dars for that level, Darul Dioban, where you've got so many people that are coming to attend the class that have already been teaching hadith somewhere. And they come to your class. So that's the level of, the caliber of students that are coming in. So the position is very, very responsible. A responsible position, a very high profile. So now the preparation also must be great. But now, unfortunately at that moment, they didn't have a place that's very isolated and secluded. But Mufti Rahmatullah accepted it and happiness, no problem, no frown. Absolutely, he didn't show anything. He didn't show, he's upset. What I left, what I came here, is not a good deal or a comfortable. He didn't say it in words, he didn't say it in his behavior, he didn't say it in his conduct, nothing you could see. The man is comfortable, he's relaxed. After a good few months, as Qaitiyab Sahib comes around and tells Mufti Rahmatullah Alayh that this is another place, another room that has been made vacant for you, and we'll appreciate that you move to this new room. Your work is quite responsible. There's quite a few already just in the few months, and a lot of students are taking to you. So we would like you to occupy this room here. Not a frown, not anything. He comes back to this room here, comes to this new room that they have allocated for him. So someone asked him. So he was quite free with the students, relaxed, so that they can understand. See, not shouting, not reprimanding for every small little thing. Relaxed, so that he wanted that the students must benefit. Whatever has been acquired, that must be passed on. So that can be only passed on if there's a degree of compatibility and understanding. But if the student knows everything, I'm going to catch it. Today, one mistake, I'm going to catch it now. Another mistake, I'm going to get it again. So he becomes a little bit strange. He doesn't want to keep the type of affinity and relationship. So the ustad needs to understand, if I'm going to have this type of a relationship, the student is going to distance himself. You can cover up for himself. I'm teaching him other, put him in his place. You can say that, alright, you will go and do that, but in the process that person will distance himself. So it's a time that we need to attract people close. That's why Muhammad Ilyas used to say, he understood this whole picture, and he says, Talib ko kuch kehne ka haq nahi jab tak ke wo aapki juti ko roti na samajh lege. You've got no right to tell the student anything until he begins to respect your shoes like I would respect bread. Now, we are shouting, reprimanding, and did we create that level of thirst, that level of appreciation in the student as yet? We haven't. Right? So we're looking at our rights. But are we looking at it from this perspective, that has he got the type of capacity within him? Has he got that type of appreciation, capacity, and thirst in him? When he hasn't created the thirst and you're giving it to him, so he will become more distanced from you. He'll have a more indifferent attitude. Now, overall, what would happen? Overall, this will happen, that he'll come distance. You will not get a good level of students. People that will come to you will be then that type. They must always now meet you, Yabas, 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 and they'll come to you. So whether they're showing the work or not showing the work, but as long as they're showing you Yabas, you're going to say, hey, see the student here, how focused they are. But they're focused. So you're going to get this type of crowd coming to you, and then you have to understand, alright, how do I treat the student? How do I speak to him? How do I open him up? So it'll take quite a bit of time. And after that, when he's opened himself, then inshallah he won't move away. But now he's still in the process, and we give it to him. One small mistake, give it to him. Another mistake, give it to him. That mistake. The other more times I've said this. Brother Shaykh Hamdulali told the Khulafa of Hazrat Muhtamim Sahib Rabbani after he passed away, you know, to all of them, and he says, itne hakeemul ummat na bano, itne tashaddud karne ka haq nahi hai. Until you don't become the hakeemul ummat, you haven't got the right to be strict. He was the hakeemul ummat, the whole ummat had recognized him, and then he showed a strict face. So it fitted in very well. But now, you're not even the hakeemul ummat. You're not even scratching the earth. And then you were to pretend to be like, wow, Talib Ahmad did this, so I must do it. So it's not balancing, it's not adding up. So we're looking at the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi and the Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi came in the room. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi accepted the room. Some shul, like I said, the shul should be very free. They're very free, they could talk. And then gradually he would teach them adab. Simple things. First, the very elementary things, then secondary things. One step to the next, to the third. But he's seeing that everything is getting digested. It's not getting wasted. It's not just getting flushed out of the system. You're taking and getting flushed out. So he's looking at that as well. See how this person is progressing. Gradually, is he picking up, not picking up? How is he picking up? So he's progressing, he's taking him gradually. So some student asked Mustafa Rahmatullahi, you know, you must be very happy and excited that you've got such a nice place. It's quiet and calm, and you can focus, you can do better quality of work. Baki, mujhe khushi is baat ke upar hai, ke hamare Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi is jagah ko mere liye pasand kiya. I'm not happy about me choosing the place. I'm happy that my senior, Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he has liked this place for me. He has preferred, he's happy with this place for me. So what he is pleased with, I'll be pleased with. Now understand that Khairi Sahib wasn't Mufsal's Ustad, wasn't his Sheikh, right? Not an Ustad, not a Sheikh. But officially he was the head. In the official capacity he is the head. You know, official capacity he is the head, he felt, now I should show the respect to the person that is officially taking this position above me. I should show him the respect in every regards. In whichever way, but I must show him the respect. He's an authority above me, and how do I go about respecting him? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left the world, and has Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has been appointed as the Khalifa, showing adab. How do we talk? How do we work? How do we recognize? That is the catalyst. See this adab, then that's the thing that escalates you, brings you up. Many a time one should know this person, he's got so much of acceptance, and how did he get there? So there must have been something that he must have done, and then Allah Ta'ala took him from one level to the other level, kept on moving, just progressing like that. The seniors, we take them seriously. Every word of this, every action of this, we take them seriously, we show them that respect, and you see how you move on. The problem in this day is twofold, right? One problem is that we read and we hear much, too much. Something here, something here, reading this, reading that, hearing this, hearing this. So after we have read so much, and after we have seen so much, or we heard so much, now we make up our own minds. So the sheikh or the person that is senior is just there officially. Otherwise, you're doing our own thing under his auspices. We are doing our own thing. See, the sheikh must be regarded, respected like a vehicle, right? Imagine now, the driver, he's driving, right? He's controlling his vehicle. So whilst he's driving his vehicle, the passengers will tell him that they see this place is so scenic, so exciting, so attractive, right? They will tell him all these things here. But the driver himself, what is he required to do? I don't drive, but the thing that I definitely do, most of the time I see with the moves of the driver. What's he doing? What are the styles? What he's doing? So I will observe all this. Now before I should say that this a lot of defensive driving. Because the driver is not only worried about his driving carefully and safely, but he's preempting that person there. What is he going to do? Is he going to stop there? Is he going to move on? He's preempting 3-4 things. One time he's worried about his concern. How do I maneuver this vehicle of mine? Although it's my right of way, I can't see it because of my right of way, I must move. If I can move and he comes into me, I can't tell him I was right. Even though I tell him I'm right, but my vehicle will be beyond repairs. I'll be injured. So I need to see what is defensive driving all about. But the same defensive living now, defensive driving, now extend that same analogy to defensive living. You can be safe, right? You can be safe and moving on in a very safe way. But is that a guarantee that people will also be very safe? Spirituality, they will be safe. He's not worried about his dress, they're not worried about what they're talking, they're not worried about what they're doing. So there's no concern. In any party, any get-together, any gathering, absolutely no concern. How are they getting together, how are they talking, integrating, segregating, videoing, musicking, whatever, everything will go. So in all this confusion, what you need to do is to see that are you living defensive? The driving, you need to do driving defensive driving. Now, living, although it's your right, it's permissible. You can say that it was permissible for me to drive like this. But do you just be, are you content with that one? Or you go one step ahead and see now, hey, you know, what does it take for me to be safe? So if it was safe, it was important for you to look after and keep control, good control of yourself and your motor car, I would say you that it's even more important to look after your qalb and your spirituality. That you don't get accidental, don't get smashed down. Because you're right, but you got smashed down. So like it was important to look after the motor car and yourself, it is even more important to look after your spiritual self. There's so many things going on. You're taking this turn and something's happening. You take another turn and something else is happening. So in this whole commotion, the driver has to be very defensive. So the same happens to a talib, to a student and a murid. What he must do is people can be talking a lot of things, but he has to just keep focused. Like the driver, the same way that the drive is scenic, you know, postcard. It's so scenic, so attractive. So, just do this and straight away he'll look back on the road. Because he knows that one look of his, what can it result into? He knows what will happen. That accident will be scenic after that. That accident that he's brought upon himself, that may be scenic. So in 1 second you can just go off. Going straight, everything is moving smoothly. And in a moment, you see something attractive, and you went that way, and then it's a disaster thereafter. One person was telling me an example for the same thing. Say, you know, everybody will give you his 2 cents. But don't pay attention to what they say. One is, if you can help not listening to the next person, then don't listen. Every permissible thing doesn't have to be get jammed into your heart. At least, you know, it's a permissible thing. In fact, it's a virtuous thing. Why mustn't it be stored in my heart? So, you are not at the position that you can stop every permissible, in fact, an act of virtue. You don't have the capacity to fulfill every virtuous thing. Some things you can, and some things you can't manage now. So, you will do that later on. See, the first time he's going for Hajj, right? First timer, you're going for Hajj. Right? So you just heard some broad principles about Hajj, but you took 20 kitabs, you know, Arabic, so you took 20 kitabs of Hajj. What's going to happen? You're going to get confused. Right? One person is going up for the Hajj for the first time, right? Real, old days. So very great alim is going for Hajj for the first time. So a small child, 10-year-old, says, Ya Abi, you know, you make tawaf on this way, not the other way. You're going tawaf in the opposite direction, you make tawaf in this way. And so this old person is asking the child, 10 years, where you got this from? From this kitab here. That kitab, I wrote it. The kitab that he wrote, he doesn't know how to apply. You see that, he wrote the kitab, but you don't know how to apply that kitab. So, you can create a confusion with your own kitab, let alone looking at the next person's kitab. So, you've got 20 kitabs, and you're trying to figure out now what I must read, what I must do, what person I do. I ask you, will that person be in a state of confusion or not? And compared to that person who took one kitab, alright, he's seen and he heard that this is a reliable, authentic kitab, he went by that. Now, will there be any confusion in his mind? No confusion. One kitab, this is what he said, make tawaf like this, make sahih like this, you come to the multazam in this manner. One straight kitab, it is giving one direction, is moving on. It is absolutely no confusion. The whole Hajj will be done. Now the same person, if he's done Hajj so many times, and he's become an expert now, he's done it, he's seen it through and through. Now if he studies the different kitabs, then he will benefit. But if from the elementary levels, and he's going to 20 kitab, this bayan, this was, this nasihat, this kitab here. And then he's looking at a whole broad selection of kitabs, and then he's looking for something, and he's getting lost, confused. So that one vehicle that you got, that's your share, you hold on to that. Now you see, that person got a Porsche, and you got a, perhaps a Corolla, old Corolla, right? And you got a Porsche. Now you are, he's such a good Porsche he's got. He got a Ferrari and I got a small little Corolla. See what he's got. Now you're driving and you look at his Porsche and you look at his Ferrari. What's going to happen? You're going to lose that Corolla also. What will happen? You will lose that Corolla as well. My Barhum father, Allah full his grave with Noor, he used to say that you don't look at the next person's castle and destroy your hut. You got a hut, you got a dwelling to cover you. Right, now you look at him, and you look, you got overawed, overwhelmed. So, now you got so overwhelmed with him, that you forgot, you destroyed your own hut. Now you look at the Ferrari, and that Porsche, and all whatever else you're looking at, and the little thing that you have got, you have destroyed it. But I appreciate that, if Allah Pak wills, you'll get that one day also. But why must you destroy yours because of that person? Your eyes popping out. You look at it, you kept on looking until you brought disaster to yourself. See, one person said the same thing, but in a lighter manner, same thing. I'm talking of tawheed al matlab, right? But in a lighter manner. So, but you'll keep to one, stick to one. Right? if someone has to say something, but don't disrespect the person, don't get into an argument. Don't get into an argument, don't disrespect. Just keep him, if you can avoid, avoid. But if he has to say something to you, but just forget, don't get into a discussion. Now you are wearing a white kurta, you're quite comfortable with that, right? White kurta and a white topi, you are quite comfortable with that. If someone tells you, you know what, orange kurta is better. Second friend said, no, yellow one is better, bright yellow. Other said, you know, that pink one is very, very good. Other said, you know, that dark red, that is even better. And the sixth one said, that orange color is even better. Then you'll be a rainbow. If that white one kurta, one color you got, you look nice. But you took this, and this also looks appealing, that also looks attractive, see. Hoblus is coming, so you're coming there. Noman Ali Khalbert, so he's going on. So that whole Hilal Masjid becomes an entertainment park. What are you going for? I ask you, what you went for? Whichever alim you go to, just hold to that one alim and carry on. Because otherwise that deer will become an entertainment park. It'll become an entertainment center. Oh, yeah, he's seeing how he's giving it. And this way, let's see how he's giving it. So you're looking more for the presentation. I ask you, when you go to a doctor, so you go for the action and the entertainment, the doctor must give you some story and exciting, or he must treat you. What are you going for? So understand that bayan is a treatment. It's an ilaj. You're getting your ilaj properly by one, then don't confuse and complicate matters. Now, the general takes A, because we don't have any crowd, therefore we try to attract people and discredit that person. But that's not the idea. The idea is your cure, your healing, a healing process. Where are you getting your healing done? You're getting your healing done, you can see the levels of taqwa increasing, you can see the yearning to the hereafter improving, you can see your namaz is getting a quality that holds to that, move on that. Like I say, you've seen that person's Ferrari and you're destroying your own Corolla. Is that making sense? Not making sense at all. So you made that deen an entertainment thing. I can see something more exciting here. So the kitabs also will come out now and have an exciting cover. So much of picture and all that. The older day basis there, when you saw any color is that. One plain color, finished colors. Awal Hadi, you saw any color in that. No color, one plain thing. So the person knows that I need to take the substance, not the color. If you're worried about the color, then you become a woman. That woman was a woman. Now she influenced you so much that you became a woman. Imagine you're wearing pink now, a little bit of blue, a little bit of yellow. What do you become? Now make up your mind what you are. You're a man or a human. What are you? So leave the substance. Improve on the substance and the quality of the substance, the ikhlas, sincerity, taqwa, crying to Allah Ta'ala. Then improving on the attraction. I need to put this attraction, and that attraction, and this flower. Right? Leave all the way. It's all for women's work. That's why Ibn Abi Dunya, he says, when you're taking mashwara, then don't take mashwara from a person who's sitting too much with women. Either from a woman or from a person who sits too much with women. Because fi ra'ihi da'fun. It's going to be a weakness in his mind. He can't understand. He doesn't have that level of determination. He doesn't have that level of go and courage. So the person needs to have courage, determination. I need to do a certain thing. I need to reach to a certain goal. I look at all these things, like color and attraction, whatever else. You lost the plot. So your eyes will be alright now. Why people are attracted to him? Why are they attracted to me? So what must I do? What must I add? Until you reach a point that the original will be left out and all that additions will be brought in. The original Islam, the beauty, the originality will be all lost and all these additions will come in. So this original Islam, what it had, the pure Islam, undiluted Islam, it had a lot of respect. Lot of muhabbat, lot of adab, right? I seen that day by the grace of Allah Ta'ala that you're not leaving the house without asking permission. As a senior, you're a married man, you already got children, and sometimes you're already a grandfather, but you can still see there's a senior, and the senior doesn't have to be living with you, is living somewhere else. It's your father or it's your grandfather. He's living elsewhere and you're living here. Abba, I'm intending to go to Reservoir Hills, for example. Alright, what are you going for? He'll ask you what you're going for. You're not going to say, it's becoming too personal. Now, ask one question, you become too personal. You know, I asked you now, it's enough now. You don't have to get too personal into my life. Now, that style, I've seen that style, and I agree with that style. Because of the values it had, the respect that it held, and the good that came out of it. I was speaking to one adult, you know, professional person studying. Same aspect of respect, adab, muhabbat, humility. You know. So he says, in my young days, I used to go to the bicycle, right? So I came with a little bit of a delay. Went. Came, and I seen that time, I seen some of the people in the family before the tabligh started now. So the Saturday night comes, you can see all the hairstyles coming up. I can remember, I got that picture in my mind, so right. They got all the hairstyles, they're going for the bicycle, or nothing other, besides the bicycle, nothing else. Right. And now if you compare it to what's going on, I don't see a difference. They still have respect, mahabbat, respect, everything. Just that Saturday night they would go a little bit off, 2-3 hours, and then they'll be absolutely normal after that. They'll read the Isha Namaz, Fajr Namaz, only the 3 hours they got off. So I seen that period, right? So he came back at about 11 o'clock at night. Now, his father was there to receive him. He's married, he's got already a child or something. He's married. You know, when you're married, and you're fresh in the marriage, you've got one child, you act like a hero, you're the best person, the champion, nobody must tell you anything. And more so in the presence of your wife, you know, you'd act like a real mastan. And his father let him have it. What's wrong with you? His father is about to give a slap. With all his prominence, professional, wealthy, everything. The father is about to give him a slap. He looked down, no frown on the face, didn't pull up his face. After that, asked for maaf, mourning, like absolutely normal. Now, then that became the catalyst of his progress. He progressed from stride to stride. He just moved on. You see that respect, that humility, that elder was given that recognition and that position. So that whole home went well. That whole house, everything went in position. He's an elder. He's got the right to say what he's saying. Maybe he said 1-2 words, a little bit over the mark. But number one, he's an elder. Let him say that. Right? At least I'm seeing some system, I'm seeing some direction in my house. Minus that person, what will happen to my house? I can see some direction, I can see some good in the house. He's there, he's shouting, me, my children, or my wife, whoever. But the whole home is going, there's a direction that we're seeing. There's a shape. Maybe 1-2 things he's miscalculated. He's not doing it deliberately. He's not doing it, he doesn't have a malicious intent. He's doing it for the betterment. Now when I can see the broader picture, he's doing so much, 1-2 mistakes and discrepancies, now I say, hold on to that, forget the good that I'm getting out of it. So this aspect of respect, muhabbat. Where it starts off small like this. Look at this. Bishr Hafi Rahman, the same thing, exactly the same thing, adab. And then it brought him to whatever he became. Starts off where, like I say, this incident I heard from Hazrat over hundreds of times. But Hazrat was perhaps putting this into a mind, respect, muhabbat, adab, humility. You know, that was like the cornerstone of Islam. Now, finding persons that are learned, etc., but muhabbat though, is just a formality. Respect though, is just one of those things. Muhabbat is not there, that level of adab is not there. So then how do you expect that affinity to be? See that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala grows from this point. From your elder to her Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Allah Ta'ala. It grows in that level. You don't just go to Dora one shot, Adadiya, first year, second year, gradually. It's a whole journey towards muhabbat. But you can't shoot to Dora one shot. You can't become a muhakkik straight away. You go through the phases and you come there eventually. But you want to go straight, you lost it. You're not here, you're not that side. But in this whole process, the aspect of muhabbat, respect, consideration, humility, how you go about conducting yourself, how do you do it? So this Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi, is a drunkard through and through. So, he's drunk, like soaking drunk, you know. is passing the street and he sees a paper, a piece of paper, the name of Allah Ta'ala written there. He's drunkard, but he knows that it's Allah Pak's name, right? So he washes that paper. He's got about a dirham in his pocket. He buys the best perfume that he can afford. And he applies it to that. And whatever it was, he was a drunkard, but still he had he identified with Islam. So he had his turban. In the drunken state, he still got his turban. So the most respectable place he could think of was under his turban. That is the highest he could think of. He placed it carefully under his turban. That night, Allah Ta'ala tells him, Bishr, you have elevated our name, we will exalt you. You have exalted our name, we will exalt you. See that? See the catalyst where it starts from. Respect, mu'abbat, humility, thinking nothing of yourself. That elder, let him think, let him do it. Whatever he says, I'll do it. You know, I find so much of understanding and the path from understanding, life being so easy. You got an elder now, you say, alright, he'll be called the fikr, let him do it. Various passengers. How easy, how enjoyable the journey is. Whether it's the passengers, he's the driver, he's called the fikr, just tell him, he will do the rest of it. Isn't it enjoyable? Rather than everybody having his own itinerary in that house, we got one driver, that driver, let him take us. We have the confidence in him. Tell him whatever we need, we just tell him and we'll move on. How easy it is. This also I heard quite a few times, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's just married, right? See, he was the rector and the principal of the biggest university, Darul Deoband, for approximately 50 years. Before Umarji's time, right till our time. Right till then he was the most respectable. Whole of India. India, in fact, Pakistan, everybody held him in a very high esteem. If he says something, that would be the last word. When they had that masla of Hayatul Nabi, they called him. He must give the last word. He gave it and everybody accepted it. So he had that type of respect, that type of acceptance. But then that acceptance, where did it come from? What was the catalyst? I would say, I saw him, alhamdulillah, and I examined him. I won't say examined, like, scrutinized the person. I saw him. But the very marked, the thing that was very distinct in him, a lot of humility, respect, as high as he was, an ordinary person could come and talk to him. You know. An ordinary person would say, Hazrat, why are you not getting married? An ordinary person could talk to him. And no frown in the face. He'll be doing his own thing. He'll answer you. He'll show you that respect. He'll show you that consideration. With all his position. But someone can tell him, speak to him in a simple manner. But he'll still maintain his composure, simplicity, humility, respect. So he's newly married. Qari Sahib is newly married. And he's sitting with his family. Oh, the mother got upset with something. I don't know, whatever it was. The front of the family, the mother gives him one slap. Now, who's Qari Sahib? He's a principal. What a madrasa? The whole of India, Pakistan. Right? That respect he's got. And she, this auntie, comes in. One tamacha she gives him. Whatever reason now, but she gave it to him. Front of the wife. Now, I ask you, how do you feel at that time? How do you feel at that time? Front of my wife and this man, this woman, what does she think? You know, I'm taking care of her. She's widowed. And then I'm taking care, it's my shelter. And she's living like this. What she thinks of herself? How many thoughts would run through your mind? So Qari Sahib was composed, no sign of anger, not disturbed, a little bit of remorse. Perhaps I disappointed my mother. So for that he was remorseful that I some displeasure I've caused. So just to compensate for that, he took his mother's hand and he kissed her. He says, I'm so happy today that the love and the attention you showed me in my infancy has not changed. You should have shown me the same love, the same respect, the same consideration that you showed in my infancy, now you showed to me in my adulthood. See, this is how it comes. It starts off like this. Ba adab, ba nasi. You have got that adab, you will be fortunate one day. You will move one day, you will progress one day. But all these things come from this point. I don't say that you will not make mistakes. Now there may be mistakes here and there may be a hiccup. Hitch the side there. In takunu salihina fa innahu kana lil awabina ghafura. Allah says, your niyat must be right. Immediately you, when you come, you understand you made a mistake, go and correct the thing. Don't be stubborn in your ways. You understand, now I've gone off. I don't have that humility. I don't have that respect. I don't have that muhabbat. I don't call on them. I don't talk to them. I understood now I have made a mistake. But immediately you understood and you realized that you come on again, you show the respect, humble yourself, until you feel them now they be back to normal. You go on doing that until you begin to feel convinced and be back to normal. Not that you just did it out of formality. But Mawlana has given bayan, you see. So he says, you know, hukukullah is important, but hukukul ibad is also important. Rights of people also is important. So if you didn't make the maaf, Qiyamah's day you'll catch it. You hit someone, you shout at someone, you rob someone. So Qiyamah's day you're going to catch it. Now he's a Pathan now, a very brave man. And he knows that he somehow encroached on his brother's rights. Brother's a little bit small, and he's big size, you see. So he knows that he's encroached on his brother's rights. Now he heard this bayan, now if I don't get it right, Qiyamah's day I'm going to catch it. So he goes up to his brother, maaf karta hai ya nahi, making maaf or not. That style, now they're living in that style. But the brother is still fed up, still mad about how he's treated him. And before he knows anything, he floored his brother, got him on the neck. Ab maaf karega ya nahi. That's not the style. You go and work with the person, make him understand, I've slipped up, made a mistake, humble yourself. See? And you'll get there one day. See, his heart, when his heart opens up, your roads will open up. Once his heart opens up, then your road will open up. Really. So an elder is something different. You know, this humility, respect, kindness, it's something different. It's not to pull out that next person's fault. Examine yourself. What are you doing? Alright, he did whatever he did. But did I behave correctly as well? It's nice to pick out the next person to entertain yourself at the respect of the next person. It's very easy. Yeah, see what he did. How he treated this person. How did he treat his so and so and so and so. It's easy to say that. To entertain yourself at someone else's disgrace and humiliation, it's easy. But to humiliate yourself, lower yourself and correct yourself, that we feel, no, as long as I humiliated him, I earned the respect. This is how we feel. We think in reverse. See, when we become the prey of shaitan or nafs, then our intellect and our intelligence goes in reverse. What is respect becomes disgrace. What is disgrace becomes respect. So, we are talking about this sahabi, you know. And I was thinking I should be speaking about this. Because we are already in Rabiul Awwal, right? And before we know it, there will be Ramadan. So, if we have a good time to prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan, now, when Ramadan comes, we've got a good crop. It's just a time for harvesting, for preparing. But what will be the good thing to prepare ourselves? So the field needs to be right for the harvest to go right. And the field is not right. There's all type of junk and trash and whatever inside the field. And you want good to come out of it. How is it going to happen? So anyway, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he goes to this sahabi. And he says, you know, I got a problem with my father. I need to stay with you for 3 days. He says, you're most welcome. Why must I stop you? Come to my house. As long as you want to come and stay. And he's got an agenda to go and see now. How does he spend the night? He's got his thing now. Nabi Sam gave him an assurance that this man is a Jannati. 3 days in succession, same person, and same khush khabri all 3 nights, all 3 days. This is a Jannati, it's a Jannati, Jannati. Endorsed 3 times, imagine. Nabi Sam endorsed it thrice. Once, second time, and the third time. So, that type of endorsement, one time, and the second time, and the third time, something very great. So he's trying to observe now, okay, what is this man doing at night at home? What is he doing to earn this type of a promise and a guarantee from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Trying to look around, nothing. First night, nothing. He gets up a little bit, gets up, sitting, or his namaz on time, tahajjud, 2-4 rakats, a little bit, And then when he gets up at night, then he's making some tasbih, when his eyes are open, subhanAllah, 3, 4, 5 times, whatever. And he's gone back to sleep. Nothing extraordinary in the person. First night, and the second night, and the third night, I see the same thing. Now, by the third night, when he saw absolutely nothing, now he takes the initiative to ask him, by, you know, 3 nights, I've been sleeping with you, and this is what I heard from Bisham about yourself. Now he disclosed the reason. I want to know what's your secret. So now, everybody tries to conceal, because he doesn't want to become a showpiece. He doesn't want his rewards to get depleted. So, well, I'm the same simple person that you have seen. What's the extraordinary about me? So he felt a little bit disappointed. So, no, I can't see my Muslim brother being disappointed. Whatever it is, I don't want to bring any hurt to you. I can see now you're disappointed because I didn't share the secret with you. So now I will at least share the secret, not because I want to advertise my good, but I don't want to disappoint you. See, the reason perhaps that I understand why Nabi has given me this good news that I'm a Jannati, when I see anybody with any fortune, any blessing, he's excelling perhaps in wealth, he's excelling in ilm, knowledge, he's more popular amongst people, he's got a better car, he's got a better place to live, his children are more intelligent, more capable, right? When I see any person excelling in anything, then alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I'm not envious of the person. I'm not malicious about the person. I'm not jealous about the person for the good that he's enjoying. I'm happy for him for the good that he's got. And I never have any type of ill feeling for that person, for the progress that he's making. Good for him and good for me. I'm hoping for good for him and good for myself. So, well, this is it. This is the thing. That your heart is always clean. It's pure. مثل كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربي. See, when the land is pure, then the product also is going to be good. But if that is going to be filthy, then it's going to be producing also filth. So the heart, that is the land, that has to be absolutely pure, clean. Any type of malice, jealousy, hasad, etc., pride, show all that, clean that out. Clean that out of the system. Anas ibn Iran's famous hadith, إِن تَسْتَطِيعَ أَن تُصْبِحَ وَتُمْسِيَ. If it's possible for you to spend the morning and the evening in a way that you don't have any malice. Now, Nabi Sallam is telling him after that, وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّةِ. This is my sunnah, my way of life. Imagine a man has got 20 children, and says, this is my child. What he means? He's all his children, but from all the children, say, this is my child. What is he referring to? Why did he say that this is my child? See? Favorite child. This is my favorite child. So from all the sunnah, this is my favorite sunnah. I've got so many sunnahs, and I said, I've got 20 children, and this is my favorite child. What am I referring to? This is my favorite thing. Although I like all of them, but this is a favorite. So Rabbi Sam is saying from his sunnat, this is my sunnat. See, so if you want to grow Ramadan, you want to progress. So, you know, we have to have some time to prepare. Prepare, grow. And then when the time comes, then we are reaping. But how we start off with this cleanliness, this purity. The land has to be pure. So just flush it out. All the dirt, flush it out. And then he says that, but أَحَبَّ sunnati فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. You love my sunnah, my style, you love me. My ways you like, then you like me. But you say you like me, but you like their styles. You say you like me, but you like his ways. You say your wife, that I love you, but you show all the attention to the other girl. What will the wife say? You love me, but you're showing attention, and you're showing all the respect to that girl, and you're disregarding me. So, you're betraying the love. So if you love me, then follow me. Follow my style. Consider me to be your leader. And then, at the third level he says, and who loves me, in other words, you are true in your love, then you're going to enjoy my company in Jannah. Kana ma'i fil Jannah. You're going to enjoy my company. I ask you, can you think of anything greater? So what an easy process, keep that heart clean. Malice, ill feeling, the envy, hatred, dislike, to humiliate, to disgrace, right? If all these things, anything that is to do with, connects with Islam, with Allah Ta'ala, is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Kiram, the people that brought deen to us, right? Our elders or family elders, whoever they may be. But that respect, that muhabbat, that consideration, right? How do we talk to them? How do we address, how do we approach a situation? How do we do it? As Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, most of the mistakes can be rectified if we just add these 2 points into our lives. He was the Hakimul Ummat, right? So Allah Pak inspired his heart. He says, Ta'ammul or Tahammul. Just these 2 points, if you add into the equation, 99% of your problems will be off. So before you taking the step, then you think, alright, what are the consequences? Short term, long term, what is the consequence? I got this budget here, and if I don't think and I just blast it, what's going to happen for the end of the month? I am living on a budget, say 5,000 rand, right? And I saw one trouser advertised at 5,000 rand. I go and buy that thing. What's going to happen to me? So I think before I say a word, or before I take a step, I think what's going to be the short term and long term consequence. What's going to happen? So I don't do anything or I don't say anything without thinking like this. So most of our problems can be sorted out if we just apply our minds, understand, reason, analyze, right? Ta'ammul, right? And after that ta'ammul, after you've understood that this is not the right thing what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do, right? Then perhaps you will have to endure, or you have to persevere, right? Because that person is saying something and I want to give him a mouthful, right? But I can understand if I give him a mouthful, that our relationship will be strange. That I can't talk to him, I feel so bad within myself. People will see us, they'll begin to disgrace what they'll tell, what they'll say about us, you know. So I said, well, let me just hold on. Let me just hold myself. I won't say anything. Although I'm feeling agitated, I'm feeling hurt. But that doesn't give me the license to retaliate. Let me make sabr for the sake of Allah, let's keep quiet. In turn, what that person will do, he'll feel ashamed, he'll come and ask maaf. Isn't that a better situation than he shouting and I'm shouting, and then it's all your wife and children, everybody listening, see how they're sending it. You're making a drama for them, that they must entertain themselves at your respect. So the simpler thing was, alright, I understand that the person is heated up, he's saying something. Let me just keep quiet, whatever it's worth. There may be 1% of good in what he's saying. I'm getting worked up, right? And it may be totally my fault. He may be innocent. It may be my fault. I saw this in Dioban once, you know. So there in Dioban used to queue up for your meals. Queue up, and you pass on the coupon. They take on the coupon, and then they will give you the meals, right? So now, this person here now, he wants his meals and he's not giving he's asking for his meal. But the person that is going to serve the meals says, where's the coupons? But I gave it to you. He's shouting, what do you think of me? And, you know, people are like this, you're running this madrasa, you're not supposed to be in that position. He's shouting, shouting. After about 10 minutes of shouting, then he said, let me just look in my pocket. Now he found that coupon in his own pocket. How disgraceful. You just take that step and you don't think, argue a piece, nothing, absolutely. You just let's drive. It's not the way. So first you think about it, then persevere, just be patient. Inshallah, in time, things will happen. Things will work out.